Good evening, everyone, and happy new month. Welcome to the month of June. It's such a blessed month. It's a time in the presence of God, and I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us in this month of June. As we all know, the theme for June is the gospel of God. The gospel of God. This is what God has already laid on our hearts from before we entered into the year, when God spoke to us during the last 12 days of the month. And tonight we're just going to be having a communion and healing service, and we'll be sharing a bit before the communion and healing service. Before we start tonight, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Father Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because it's your word. And you said in your word that your word is living, is active. Of its own, it has life, and it has the ability to be able to transform. Father Lord, even as we go and we share in your word tonight, as we peer and we look into your word tonight, we ask, Lord, that the life in your word, Lord, will come on tonight and will transform the lives of those who are around in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, will encounter you, will encounter, Lord, the transformation in your life. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. 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 So, yeah, welcome to today once again. And it's such a joy to always come here. I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to come here, to be able to be part of this, to be able to teach. I do not take it for granted. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Okay, so the gospel of God. What is God saying to us tonight? Some of the things that I asked myself at the beginning regarding the gospel of God. I was listening to Pastor Adiri's message to us on Christmas Day last year once again, and I was reviewing some of the things that he told us and just checking my notes, and I realized that the word the gospel gospel in itself means the good news. It means glad tidings. It means the God's power for salvation. I mean, that's what Apostle Paul defined the gospel of God as. And this gospel of God, it was what John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing at the Jordan. And that was what Christ came to teach us all about, just to be able to open to us what this gospel is all about, this good news is all about. And I looked into a few, tonight is a teaching, it's Thursday, it's a Bible study. So we'll just look into a bit of definitions just to lay the foundation for this month as usual. And then Pastor comes up again towards the end of the month to be able to help us build on this. And glad tidings, good news, good. What is good? Something that is meant to be desired, something that is approved of, morally right, something that is righteous, something of benefit or advantage. And tidings just means news, it means information. And news on its own means something that has just been received newly, something that has just happened recently, something that is of noteworthy information, information that was not known before. And here we're talking about the gospel of God, the good news of God, something that we've not encountered in God, that we've not had an understanding of. When it first came, then the people of Israel, they understood only God through the law of Moses. And then the gospel came, and here we were talking about grace. And thank God we looked at the grace of Christ Jesus last month, for those who are part of the church. And for those who are just logging on tonight, just maybe by chance, they're just logging on. I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will help you to come to a place of understanding, that even the ones that you were not able to listen to all through last month, that God would bring you to a level of quick understanding in Jesus' name. So what's this gospel? In Romans chapter 1, Paul was explaining to us that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. is the revelation of God's righteousness. It's the demonstration of his righteousness. And the gospel is all centered around Christ. It's all about Christ. And we'll be quickly reading that book of Romans chapter 1, which is part of our theme. And we'll read from Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. And we'll read it to about verse 17. We'll skip some bits in the middle and then we'll come back to it later on. But yeah, so Romans chapter 1. And I will read using the New American Standard Bible version. Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. The New American Standard Bible, 1995. Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his namesake, among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And from verse 8, Paul said in verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayer, making a request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. And then from verse 11 to about verse 13, he was talking about the fact that he wanted to come to the church in Rome to be able to impart some spiritual gifts to them and to be able to encourage them and to be able to meet with them. And then from verse 14, I'll just jump from 11 to 13. I'll just go back to 14 so that we can quickly continue. It says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Father, Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask, Lord, that you give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I remembered when we first read this verse about 2 nights ago, and the first thing that my daughter asked me, and this is something that I'll probably come up with towards the end, is that first verse where it said, Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus. A bond servant of Christ Jesus. Which is quite interesting, because he was asking me, what does it mean to be a bond servant? That's why is Paul calling himself a bond servant of Christ Jesus? And there, it's something that is quite interesting, because we had that discussion that night, and I was explaining to him that Christ was talking about the fact that he's a servant of God, but not that kind of servant that is grudgingly serving, but one who has committed himself and given himself to be able to serve God. He is one who has set himself apart to be able to serve God. And I will start with that first point, because if you look at the NLT, it says, this is a letter from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. A slave of Christ Jesus. New King James says a bond servant. NESB says a bond servant. And something that I ask myself is, do we all realize that in reality, In the spiritual sense of it, we are all slaves to something. Either we are slaves to sin, or we are slaves to someone, or to a form of action, or to flesh, but we are all slaves to something. And here Paul was talking about the fact that he is a bond servant of God, he's a bond servant of Christ Jesus, that he has committed himself and he has set himself apart to be at service and of service to Christ Jesus. And the first question that we talked about that night, and which I will push to everyone on this call as we look into the gospel of God in this season, is what are you a servant to? Are you a servant to righteousness? Meaning that, are you a servant to Christ? Because here, even though we are no longer slaves and we're no longer servants, but we are sons that serve. We are the sons of the Father that serves. And it's, are we still at the service of the flesh, or are we still at the service of sin? Is the Lord Christ Jesus, the Master, our owner? Is he yet the Lord over our lives? If you look at John chapter 8 from 31 to 35, here Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed, and he said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And I'm calling to anyone who is on this call, who still finds themselves as a bond servant to sin, a bond servant to the flesh, a bond servant to addictions, a bond servant to things, and who is crying out and asking God for help tonight, that the grace of God that brings salvation and the power that comes from the gospel of Christ, which we are talking about and we're preaching about tonight, would come in the fullness of his power to deliver us in the name of Jesus. That no longer would we be slaves to sin, but indeed we'll become sons that serve, slaves unto righteousness, unto Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. So that was just a quick one, because it was something that came up when I read this verse with the girls, and they just asked, what does it mean to be a bond servant? And it caught my attention tonight when I was preparing, and I said I would just quickly put that one in, because God has called us to be, he's translated us from slavery to sin into his own kingdom. He's now our Lord, and we are sons that serve him. We are slaves unto righteousness, no longer unto sin. We are no longer under the cruel master, which is the flesh, but now Christ is the one that has dominion over our lives. So going back to what we're talking about, the gospel of God, which also means the good news, the glad tidings of God. And one of the questions that came to me is, how come is it that typically as human beings, that we have on our news, typically, we tend to pay more attention to the bad news than the good news. Good news tends not to spread too far. If something good has happened, it seems like as if when the news comes out, it gets cut off shortly by another bad news of gravity that has come up. Another news that is a bit negative. And it seems like as if we pay attention more to negative news than we do to the good news. Tonight, we're talking about the good news of Christ Jesus. And we're asking, why is it that as human beings, that our flesh has this negativity bias, where it seems like as if we typically just want to believe all the reports that are not so good, concerning something or someone or a government than the good report. Where when somebody makes one mistake, we look only at that bad mistake. We zoom in on that and we pay close attention to it. That's what happened with the fallen state of man, where we have this cognitive bias, where our heart somehow just processes bad news faster, where it seems like as if anything that is good, we quickly forget about it once we see something that is negative. And I wrote down here, I said, bad news spreads like wildfire, but good news only reaches a few people, and then it seems to stop. It's because of our natural negativity bias, the natural falling human tendency to only focus on the bad side rather than the good. Have you ever seen when two people have a disagreement, when friends have disagreements, husband and wife, when they have a disagreement, if you tell them to spend the time talking about the good things that each one of them have done to each other, you would not have enough time to be able to talk. But what tends to happen is our heart is always focused on that negative bit. Where our thought process, the thought process of the fallen man, makes the human brain to just simplify everything through a filter of our personal experiences and our preferences, where all we see is just the things that we have experienced before. And if we see a slight example of it, it springs forth and it quickly takes away the good or the positive parts of us. But the beauty of this gospel of God is that even our cognitive bias, our ability to be able to focus, the way our mind processes things, this gospel is powerful enough to be able to help us to transform even our thinking pattern. This gospel has got power, is living, is active, and can help us to renew our minds, that even the pattern of our thinking changes. And this is this good news that we're talking about tonight. The good news about Christ Jesus. The news about Christ. In Romans chapter 1 from verse 3 to 7, he was talking about the fact that the good news is about the Son, Christ Jesus. And he explained to us about his lineage, how he came from the lineage of David, and how he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The good news is not, the gospel is not about any man. It's centered on Christ. Christ is the beginning and the end of everything. In him, God has summed everything up. And that's all we are seeing. That's all we are able to focus on. The good news is not about man. It's about our advocate with the Father, the one who died on the cross of Calvary, who paid the price, the one who has bought us and paid for our salvation by dying for us on the cross of Calvary with his own blood. Have you ever realized that the world wants to introduce to us other things apart from this gospel of God? They want to help us to see only the good, but not to focus on God. They want us to be able to look at inspirational things, things that look positive, things that look good, things that look comely, things that look okay, but slightly removing God away from it. But indeed, this gospel is just all about Christ. Christ at the center of it. Christ as everything that we are looking up onto. And it's this gospel that we are talking about that brings about salvation and redemption and forgiveness of sins, and that gives us eternal life. If you look at verse 5 to 7, through Christ, God has given us the privilege, the grace, and the authority as apostles to tell the Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them. I want us to realize that we as conduits of this good news, as the one that God has called to go and preach this good news across all the world, we ourselves, we must be first partakers of this good news. We must imbibe this gospel of Christ Jesus first before we can become apostles of it. We must take in this word. We must become this word. We must dwell on this word. We must handle it for us to be conduits of this word, of this gospel that we're talking about. If you look at that Romans chapter 1, verse 5 in the TPT version, it says, through him, grace cascaded into us, empowering us with the gift of apostleship. The first thing that God did before he called us to be able to be sent out is that he poured grace upon us. And if you look at how God has been dealing with us in this season, he first of all taught us about grace. Over the whole of last month, we've been praying about grace. And now we are talking about this gospel, and we are talking about being the called, the sent out, the apostles, the carriers of this good news, the carriers of this glad tidings to the whole of the world. And in that verse 5, he said, through Christ, grace cascaded into us, empowering us with the gift of apostleship, so that we can win people from every nation into the obedience that comes from faith, to bring honor to his name. And you are among the chosen ones who are called to belong to Christ, the anointed one. Can you imagine that call, that glorious call to be partakers of those that will carry this grace, just like the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, who were conduits of this grace, who we still read today. And in this verse, it's telling us that God has poured that grace upon us to become apostles, to become carriers for this same gospel of God, to be able to make it to reach the ends of the earth. Because in it is that power that can save. In it is that power that can transform. You know, grace empowers us with the ability to be able to carry this good news to the whole of the world. And one thing that is noteworthy is that grace comes before apostleship. Grace comes before you are called and before you are sent out. You receive grace in the place of waiting and abiding with Christ, being a disciple of Christ. And after you have been endued with grace and with power, then you go out into the world and then you can reach out to the whole of the world. I must be filled with grace before I can indeed become an apostle for Christ. The service of God is not by human effort, but by the grace of God. And the good news of this gospel of God, this good news of God, cannot be spread by human strength. Of its own, it has life. On its own, it's active. And it grows by grace, not by human effort. And what is God calling us to in this season, in this month of June, in this season of our lives? He's calling us to become conduits, channels, to tell people about this grace, about what God has already done in Christ Jesus. We know fully well that in Christ Jesus, it's not about the fact that God is just doing something. He has already done it. He's not planning to do it. He has done it. And all we are doing is that we are coming in contact with that which Christ has already done. That all has been completed in Christ before the foundations of the earth. Going back again to that Romans that we read, in Romans chapter 1, verse 14 to 17, Paul was talking about the fact that he's a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian. That is a debtor to be able to, is a debtor to everyone, to be able to preach that word to everyone. that is under obligation to everyone to be able to preach that word. And then he says something that is very critical in verse 16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's the first part of it. And then the second part, he said, "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes." The first question that came to me when I was meditating again on this and listening to what Pastor Dio taught us the other night is, do I really believe that this gospel, the simplicity of this gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes? When I encounter an issue, or I'm called to help to solve something, or I'm told about something, do I first talk about this gospel, understanding that in this gospel is salvation? Or do I first of all profess some solutions, some worldly wisdoms as to how to solve it? Do you and I believe that this gospel has the power to be able to transform situations? Salvation, you can look at salvation also from the word salvage. That means to something that is meant to be destroyed, something that of its own is already useless. But when you go on to save it, to salvage it, it means that you bring a new use out of something that is beyond use, beyond hope. Imagine if the gospel, if we can only just hold on to the simplicity of this gospel in our homes, in our marriages, in situations in our communities, with all the crime, the drug, the troubles in Merseyside. Do you believe, do I believe, that the simplicity of this gospel has the power to be able to save and transform our community? Or am I ashamed of this gospel? Do I prefer other intellectual reasoning, inspirational talks about how to solve situations and circumvent this gospel? Because when I was reading this verse again, I was asking myself, Apostle Paul was saying critically that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He has set his heart on this gospel because he knows that is the power to salvation for everyone who believes. Do you and I believe in this gospel? Do you believe that this message of Christ Jesus, that he died on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood for our sins, for the remission of our sins, and now that we have been quickened in him, he gave us his Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that we are seated in him right now, far above all principalities and powers. Do you believe it? The simplicity of that gospel. Do you believe that it has the power to be able to transform every situation that you encountered with? Maybe at work, something is going on, the company is going under. Do you believe that the simplicity of this gospel can bring salvation to that company that is going under, to that business that is about to die, to that child that is sick, to that marriage that is crumbling, to that city where crime is up there? Verse 17 says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Tonight, I just want us to ask ourselves critically these questions as we lay the foundations for this month. That this simple gospel has the power to salvage irreparable situations. Situations where all hope is lost. But do we turn to this gospel? Just this simple gospel of Christ. This simple gospel of salvation. Are we ashamed of this gospel? Are we apologetic about this gospel? Do we feel humiliated when we want to, when we see situations outside, and instead of us to bring about this gospel of Christ, to talk about what God has said, do we feel hesitant? Or do we feel conscience stricken? Or do we completely have our hope rested on this gospel of Christ Jesus? Because indeed in it is all the power. All. For those who joined us in the evening prayers, the Bible said a simple part of that gospel in Mark, where they called to the gospel of repentance and baptism to the repentance of sin by John the Baptist. And the Bible wrote down there that those who were not baptized could not believe. They frustrated the plans of God for their lives just because they could not believe the simple gospel of God. If we don't believe it, how can we preach it? If you look at what God has said in his word in Ephesians, where he told us about putting on the whole armor of God, he said we should shod our feet with that preparation of the gospel of peace. But the question is, if I don't believe it, if I'm ashamed of it, if I don't even have an understanding of it, how can I carry this gospel? How can I become an apostle? I've been filled with all this grace, but do I believe in it? And tonight, even as we come to a place of communion, I want us to open up our hearts again and ask ourselves, this gospel of God in Christ Jesus, do we believe in it? Are we ashamed of it? What is bringing that shame? Is it because when we want to preach it, we realize that we are not doers of it, but just hearers of it? Why are we not able to experience that power that is in it? Tonight, even as we prepare for that communion, I just want us to pray again. Because like I said, all we're just doing is just to have a look into it, just to peer into what God is telling us in this month, just to have like a sneak peek into it. What do you believe? Do you believe this gospel? And if there are any areas where you are struggling to believe, I want you to bring it to the forefront. And I just to pour it at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I believe, but I have unbelief in some areas. Help my unbelief. Are you just a hearer of the word? Have you imbibed the word? Have you become a doer of that word? Are you the one who is prepared, who has set himself or herself apart to carry this gospel to the ends of the earth? The whole world is groaning and waiting for the expectations of the sons of God, for the manifestation of the sons of God, expecting us to manifest. But if we continue in childhood and we do not grow into a place of maturity, where we come to know our God for ourselves, where we come to a place of understanding of the knowledge of God, will not be able to be true carriers of this gospel, will not be able to be confident of this gospel. Lord, even tonight, in the simplicity of your word, we pray for everyone on this call who is struggling to believe, where the cares of this world is hampering our understanding, where things in our hearts is hampering our understanding of your word. Father, Lord, we come to you. We pray tonight for understanding. We ask, Lord, for your mercy. We ask, Lord, that you help us in this season, that we may come to a place of knowledge of you. That we may come to that place, O Lord, where we are no longer ashamed, Lord, of your gospel. That will we come to a place, Lord, where indeed we can be conduits, true conduits, who are not ashamed to carry that gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord, for those who are filled, Lord, with lack of confidence, who do not have that boldness, Lord, fill us again with your Spirit, that we may come to a place of understanding. I'd like us to bring Pastor up as we continue in tonight's service.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive this word you have sent to us tonight, the engrafted word, as it is written, which is able to save our souls. Lord, as you have spoken tonight through your Son, Lord, we ask that there will be further entrance of your word into our hearts, into lives, to bring understanding, to give light, and also to bring forth healing and deliverance. Because, Lord, we know your word never returns to you void. This is the word, according to the scriptures, which is the gospel, the word that endures forever, the word which by the gospel is preached to us. Lord, the gospel that has the power, your power, to save everyone that believes. And Lord, even as we've had tonight, help our unbelief.
Amen.
Help any area where we're struggling to believe.
Amen.
Lord, there may be some people online tonight. They believe that there is God. They believe you exist. But Lord, they do not really believe that a certain situation they might be passing through, that you can actually salvage them from it. We pray upon such hearts. We pray upon and pray for such people tonight, even as we come to that place where, Lord, we want to reenact your covenant, renew your covenant, remind ourselves of your covenant of peace, your covenant of salvation, your covenant of healing, your covenant of deliverance, Lord, as we come to that place in remembrance that you have healed us, you have forgiven all iniquities. Lord, we ask for a stirring, we ask for a refreshing, we ask for the anointing that destroys yokes, that lifts burdens, heavy burdens off shoulders, off the hearts and minds of people tonight. We ask, Lord, that your word will prevail mightily.
Amen.
Your word will bring forth double, that double-edged sword, will pierce the soul, will separate the soul from the marrow, from the body. Lord, will make a way for the King of Glory to come in.
Amen.
King of Glory, Lord Jesus, you come in, you bring healing, you bring deliverance.
Amen.
You bring complete, total salvation.
Amen.
You bring the fullness of grace and truth, grace and truth that sets us free.
Amen.
That is, Lord, that which only you can do. And we come to that table. We come to your table tonight to partake of your body, to partake of your blood. And we thank you for that which your blood has done, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your body broken, laid upon every sin and iniquity, and by your stripes we were healed. So we thank you for healing tonight in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Damola, for that word. We have come to the place tonight, people. If you have the emblems are just symbolic of the body. The bread, the body, and the cup containing the fruit of the vine, as Jesus enacted, represents the blood of Jesus. You know, one of the things I'm stirred up to remember tonight is when Jesus first explained this. He explained it through the Passover, where the children of Israel were delivered from, salvaged, saved from 430-something years of Egyptian bondage. And they came out of captivity, and they were told to remember by taking the Passover, where a lamb will be slain, the blood will be sprinkled, to just remind them of how God mightily, miraculously delivered them from captivity, which is a type of salvation. And Jesus, when he was taking this Passover before he went to the cross, he reminded, he said, take this, remember, do this now in remembrance of what I'm about to do. In remembrance of me, I am going to that cross to save you. My blood is going to be shed to cleanse you eternally, once and for all, the Lamb of God. And my body, which is about to be broken, battered, is to take on every iniquity. God, the Bible says, laid upon him the iniquity of us all, every iniquity. But you see, when Jesus was actually taking what we call the communion today, do you know he took bread and he took the fruit of the vine? Symbolic. It wasn't his actual flesh. I mean, physically, that he caught and gave the people at the time. It wasn't like his blood, you know, some kind of blood transfusion took place, and then he gave them his literal blood. And that is why these emblems tonight are very symbolic. We pray over them. Please, if you have the bread, symbolic of the body of Jesus, just lift it up right now. Lift it up right now. It's very symbolic, just like Jesus did it symbolically. And the Bible tells us, you know, Paul receiving the understanding, he said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. And tonight, in the same manner, we bring the bread. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Father, we pray upon this bread right now. We pray the same power of redemption, the same power that took upon our sins and iniquities upon your body, and every iniquity laid upon that body, broken, is broken over our lives today.
Amen.
Let your power come upon this bread right now. Amen. The Bible said Jesus took the bread and he broke it. So I will say, everybody, just take the bread symbolic and break it. Break every yoke of sin, like we've learned tonight. The good news is that all our iniquities, sins, habits, anything we are slave to, is broken tonight. So we break it in the name of Jesus. We break every yoke. We declare every burden lifted in Jesus' name. The Bible says he broke and said, and he gave thanks. So please, everybody, let's give thanks right now that all my sins are forgiven. Every iniquity, every habit, I break free. I am saved. Just symbolic, as we break the bread, I break loose from every bondage in the name of Jesus. I give thanks, and I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for healing every unbelief. Thank you, in the name of Jesus, for strengthening us with might by your Spirit, as we're about to take part your Spirit in our inner man, in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So right now we declare, Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we partake tonight in remembrance of that which your body was broken for. Lord, that we are set free, broken, we break free from every power of sin and habits and addiction, anything everything we're in slavery to, in Jesus' name. Please eat in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you. For when we eat your flesh, we are part of you. And your body sets us free from the power of sin and hell. In the name of Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 25, after the same manner. So let's take the cup. The fruit juice, symbolic of the blood of Jesus. In the same manner, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it, as often as you eat this bread, verse 26 says, and you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for the power of salvation, the power of cleansing, purging, healing of every iniquity, every sin by the blood of Jesus. Lord, as we have taken your body, which has broken, set us free from the power of all iniquities, we now thank you as we drink this blood, this cup, this juice symbolic of your body, we are cleansed from every unrighteousness. And as a result, we are healed. We remember your benefits, all your benefits. You forgive all our iniquities and heal all our diseases. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we drink this right now, every sin forgiven, every disease, we command you to go. We rebuke every sickness in anybody right now, physically, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, we decree right now, by his stripes, we were healed, you are healed, you are set free, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, drink all of it, and receive cleansing and forgiveness of sins and healing right now, in Jesus' name. Let's drink, and let's just thank God for healing all around, in Jesus' name. Let's just individually go into a time of thanksgiving. A time of thanksgiving for forgiveness. Two things tonight. Forgiveness of all our sins and healing of every disease, every sickness. Whatever my Heavenly Father has not planted, the Lord Jesus said, as it is written, shall be uprooted by the blood of Jesus tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the life of God that is in that blood of Jesus you just drank. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, strengthen, quicken, give life to your mortal bodies. Kill every sickness. We curse every growth that should not be in that body. We curse every tumor. We curse every cancerous tissue, cancerous cell. We curse everything that my Heavenly Father has not planted. As Jesus cursed that fig tree, we say whatever is in your body that my Heavenly Father did not plant, that God Almighty did not plant. In the name of Jesus, as Jesus cursed the fig tree with the same power of the Holy Spirit, we pronounce a curse upon every growth, wither, die, shrivel, shrink, be uprooted, be cast out of that body now. In the name of Jesus, The power of God is upon you, somebody. The Spirit of the living God is not only upon you. Please open up yourself right now. Believing is receiving. When we receive, we believe. Receive right now. Receive right now. As Jesus told the blind, the lame, the leper, receive. Receive your sight. Receive insight. Receive power. Receive healing. Receive complete and total deliverance. Say, Lord, I receive. Father, we receive. As Mary received the word and said, be it unto me according to your word. The miraculous word, the unexplainable of how a virgin can conceive and give birth. So shall be your miracle, the miracle you receive tonight. Please speak to yourself and speak to your mortal body. If you want to lay hands on yourself, please feel free under the sound of the voice and decree that whatever I lay my hands upon as it is written, yes, whatever I lay my hands upon prospers. My body prospers. My soul prospers. As it is written, beloved, I wish above all things that we be in health and our soul prospers. We be in health, we prosper as our soul prospers. I decree right now. Please put your hands on your head and decree right now that I prosper spiritually, physically, emotionally, psychologically, financially. I prosper all round prosperity. In the name of Jesus, I just kind of feel power in somebody's belly. Something to do with the belly. I don't know what it is, but there is power. The power of God to set you free. Waist pain, go. In the name of Jesus. Yes, migraine, go. Whatever sickness it is, if you've received any diagnosis, whatever it is, pressure in the eye, go, 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 go. Receive your sight. Receive whatever and whoever. Jesus sets free is free indeed. I decree you are free. Makale kakunda about free, 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 freedom. The power of the gospel, the power of salvation, the power of God hits you, fills you, surrounds you, heal you. You are cleansed. Rebuke every fever. Rebuke every sickness. Now, in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for cleansing, strengthening us. Thank you for removing every unbelief. And Lord, thank you for bringing faith that has come through hearing of your word. To you be all the glory in Jesus' name. Please, let's hear your testimony. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for your son, the vessel you've used tonight, fill him afresh again. Restore every virtue that's gone in and through him. And Lord, through him, let your double grace, your double power, begin to operate in him, exceeding grace. Lord, abundant grace flow towards him, flow into him, through him. And Lord, let him be truly a testimony, living testimony of the power of resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. And I hear again, something that has died is raised up right now. I don't know who that is. Something dead, receive the resurrection power. Rise up again. Rise up again. It is risen again. Again, something given up dead. Receive the power of resurrection. 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 Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. This may sound embarrassing, but a man, you know exactly what that is. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the power of resurrection, resurrect in Jesus' name. That which was dead, given up as dead, certified as dead, receive the power of resurrection in Jesus' name to the glory of God. Father, we return all the glory to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Damola, for the word tonight. Thank you, everyone that has joined us tonight. And We are on this note. We'll be handing you over. I hand you back to our brother, who will, I don't know if there's any closing parting words or anything you receive you want to share, and then we'll hand over to the media team.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. It's just for us to come to that place of understanding that there's nothing too difficult for the Word of God to do. Just as Pastor have prayed regarding the resurrection, it's for us to come to a place of faith in that gospel of God, that Word of God, that is able to transform any situation, any kind of situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how dead. Remember that Lazarus was dead. 4 days he was dead.
That's right.
And that word came, and it came forth. And that word is the simplicity of this gospel. Mm-hmm. And it's coming to you, and it's bringing to life everything that is dead in this season, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.